Thanks
to Deep Dive. Thank you for coming here for Deep Dive into Water Safety.
Yes.
Super important show. We started this show because
drowning is preventable.
Mm-hmm.
And we're operating off the 2025 Water Safety Plan, which has identified some really startling statistics that we keep wanting to amplify. This is our fourth live show. We've done many more interviews, which are available on archives, but will be developed into a podcast because this is a big issue for Hawaii and we want to keep amplifying that message. We have the second highest drowning rate in the country. Drowning is the number one cause of death for children aged 1 to 15. Native Hawaiians and Pacific Islanders make up 27% of the population but account for 36% of resident drownings. And snorkeling is the leading cause of ocean drowning among visitors. And fewer than 2% of second graders have water safety education. So that's where we're at. And today we have some really interesting guests, two strong women who have started some grassroots programs for water safety. They're extremely good, but Annie has not allowed me enough time today to have both interviews on. So we're going to take excerpts from both, but there's some very good information. And as an educator and as a parent, there's some really good resources. And one of the reasons we have this show is to be able to give information and resources about water safety and what is available, not just locally, nationally, but internationally, as some of our guests, and we'll talk about that later. So our first guest...
Because there's not enough time. And one of the pieces of this show is to inspire some advocacy, because we do need water safety courses in our schools, and both of these guests are really good at that.
Yes, our first guest is Shirley Derego, who founded the Alex and Duke Derego Foundation. She founded this organization out of a personal tragedy. She lost both of her sons. She will talk about that. Her mission is to empower Hawaii youth with water safety, ocean awareness, and emergency care knowledge. And her vision really is to ensure every sixth grade student statewide receives fundamental water safety training. It was a great interview, and you will find her really fascinating.
Yes, and this is only an excerpt from it. We're going to play about a half an hour, 20 minutes to a half an hour of her interview, and she was so engaging and so heartfelt. The rest of this interview you'll be able to hear at kkcr.org. Head to the archives tab, and there's a deep dive page that you can get into. But for right now, here's Shirley Derego.
This is Deep Dive into Water Safety, and we started this program based on a 2025 Hawaii Water Safety Plan that brought to our attention very startling statistics. Drowning is the number one cause of death for Hawaii children. Mm-hmm. Hawaii residents' drowning rate is the second highest in the nation. Less than 2% of Hawaii's second graders have basic skills to avoid or recover from drowning. And 36% of resident drownings are made up of Native Hawaiians and Pacific Islanders, who only make up 27% of the population. And then we all have heard or read the Civil Beat, which has been continuing to cover this issue of drowning. And in their latest issue talked about, wow, we need to really talk about our residents and how important that is and how many drownings there are, which has been a very shocking thing for a lot of people. So why is this important to our listeners? Because drowning is preventable, and we're here to give you the resources and inform you about information and actually amplify this message. And so we're really pleased today to have Shirley Derego, who is founder and head of the Alex and Duke Derego Foundation. I did some research on you, but people I've had on the show so far, Alyssa Magdrum, Sarah Fairchild, many people have brought up your work that you've done over 10 years, since 2011.
Mm-hmm.
And I am just really impressed. So I'm going to let you start. I looked to see what your mission is, which is to empower Hawaii youth with water safety, ocean awareness, and emergency care knowledge. And your vision is to ensure every sixth grade student statewide receives fundamental water safety training. You've been identified by the National Prevention Drowning Association as a champion for, as an advocate of water safety. So we're really pleased to have you today because we can talk about all the stats all day long, and we try to do that at the beginning of each show. But the stories are really important. And so, Shirley, with that, can you tell us something and how you started your Hawaii Island-based nonprofit dedicated to your young sons?
Yes. Thank you so much, Margaret. It's just an honor to be here, first of all. Anytime I'm able to share my story, and if it helps one person, then it's always, it's just worth it, what I do. My son Alexander, actually this year, September, is going to be 20 years since Alexander fell into the ocean on the south side of Kona on a camping trip. But Alex was, he was very, Hawaiians call it kolohe. He was always into something. He was always doing something. He was proud to be a Hawaiian. He loved his Hawaiian ancestry. My mother was born and raised here on the Big Island. And so my roots, my family, my ohana, it's from the Big Island. So I was always, he just loved that. And, I never really thought about Alexander drowning. Because we never found his body, I always just imagine, the Lord just reached down, grabbed him, and took him. Never dawned on me he drowned until later, a few months later. I was at a basketball game in Honoka'a. I had a son who was at Kapalama the year Al fell into the ocean, and we brought him home. He was just starting ninth grade at Kapalama Kamehameha School.
Yeah.
And so I needed to have him home. So brought him home. I'm sitting there on the bleachers watching him play basketball. And then a lady taps me on my shoulder and she goes, "Oh, you the mom? Yeah, your boy drowned." And I just kind of looked at her and I was like, "Oh, yeah?" And I never really considered that. And so that's really one of the first times I really thought, Alexander drowned. And so I wanted to do something for Al. I wanted to do something, but I didn't quite know what to do. And so, time went on. As painful as that is, losing my son, our community was there for us. 5 years later, his younger brother, my son Duke, he was involved in an accident where he fell off a golf cart going around my neighborhood. And the young children, his friends, they were 14 and 15. When Duke fell, they panicked and no one ran for help. And they were sitting there going, "You go, no, you go, no, you go." And finally, maybe 10 minutes passed and one of them took off running and got some help for Duke. And so, Duke never recovered from that head injury and passed away 3 days later. And so as I was thinking of, I need to do something so that what I had to experience, and especially when you come from a small town, Margaret, the loss of a child in a small town, a small community like mine, it impacts the whole community, especially if you are from here. My mother's family is from here. My kids were five generations. And so it affects everyone. And so in trying to think of something to do, I knew I wanted to provide some type of education, learning, skills that could prevent what happened to me from happening to another family. And so one day, this is after Duke passed away, that same year, Duke passed away it was Memorial Day weekend, 2010. And so a few months later, I was on the airplane coming home from Honolulu, and the in-flight magazine had the cover of the story was Junior Lifeguards, the Next Generation of Heroes. And so as I turned the page and read their story, what these kids learn, I knew that's what I wanted to do. That's exactly the mission that I wanted to do. And so instead of trying to reinvent the wheel, our organization simply supported the Junior Lifeguard Program here on the Big Island of Hawaii. And in doing so, we helped raise money for their Big Island Championship, taking them outer island to compete in state championships. Whatever the Junior Lifeguard Program needed, that's where I put my attention and supported that. And then one of the students that participated in the Junior Lifeguard Program, her mom was a teacher at one of the private schools here. And the mother asked me if our organization could do a water safety program for their end of health and safety week. So I said, sure. And I went to our water safety director. At that time, it was a gentleman named Black Abraham. He was a Hawaii County lifeguard, and asked him if we could do it. And he said, yeah, sure. So we took the kids all came, 60 kids came down to Hapuna. He split them up into interactive learning stations. And they spent the day going through different stations, learning water safety, ocean currents, conditions, riptide, rescue board. They did physical fitness. They did CPR first aid. And so when I saw that, Margaret, I saw that nobody does that. There's no program like that in schools. And that's when we started doing our school program for the middle school kids. Mm-hmm.
Oh, I didn't mean to interrupt you.
No, no.
What year was that?
That was in 2011. The foundation was birthed, and it was probably in 2016 that we started our water safety in the school. And we did it for two of the schools here in my community. I did it for their summer school program. Anybody who heard about our water safety program and wanted to participate in it, we said yes.
And so how many schools now do you have involved in this program?
And I have 1, 2, 3, 4 here in Waimea, 5 South Kohala, 6 in Hilo, 7 Lapu'i. We have 7 schools that participate.
And so it's funded through your foundation?
It is funded through our foundation, yes.
And it's part of the PE program in the middle school? Is it for 6th graders?
It is for 6th graders. It's part of their health and fitness program, yes.
And when is that program done?
We do the water safety program in the month of March, April, and May, because the students come to Hapuna, and that's where the program is done. That actual in the water, ocean water safety, it's done at Hapuna. There is during that week, there is a day that I go to the school with a lifeguard, and I share my story with the students. There's a documentary that they watch, the story behind the foundation, knowing Alexander and Duke, and then looking at what they're going to do at the beach, being aware of the different interactive stations that they'll run through. I have a lifeguard there with me, and so he'll share about his day on the beach, some of the things that he sees, and then they watch the documentary.
So
I spend about an hour at the school.
So March, April, and May?
May.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and yes. What is that, an hour of time or 3 hours or what?
It's a whole day.
It's a whole day.
When I go to the school, I spend about an hour there in the classroom with the kids, talking story with them, sharing about water safety. The lifeguard shares that, and they watch the documentary. And then I drop off each student. The foundation gets a quick dry shirt. It has our logo on the front, and it has the color of their school. So it has their school color. So each student comes to the beach with their uniform on, and they have to wear it throughout the day. So at that time when I'm at the school, I bring the uniforms, I bring educational information, and then they come to the beach a day or two later, and then they stay there the whole day. They arrive at 9:15, about 9 o'clock, 9:15, then the program runs. We break for 40 minutes for lunch, and they're usually out of Hapuna boarding their buses by about 1:15 to head back to school.
So how many days is it in March, April, and May? One day each month?
It is. It's a one day. Yes, it's one day. So I'll go to, for instance, I'll go to the school on a Wednesday, share with the kids, drop off their uniforms, have them watch the documentary. And then on Friday, they will come to the beach and run through the program. Then the next week, I'll go to the next school on Wednesday, and then those kids will come on Friday. So it's like a 9-week course, where we can do 9 schools, but once a week.
Oh, okay. So one school a week.
Yeah.
Okay.
One school a week, yes.
So that's really a good program, and you talked about not reinventing the wheel with the junior guards.
Yes.
And everyone's talking about the bill, 1234, I think it is, how we get water safety education into the schools. Have you thought, Shirley, how you could have some kind of 20-minute lesson that went into sixth grade health and education that would be part of what you're doing?
20-minute lesson.
On like riptides, currents, what they should know.
So the students go through that.
Right.
And it's a 35-minute lesson.
Oh, do they have that? That's what they do when you come to the school.
Yes. So it's a two-part. Our program is actually a two-part. The first part is the hour and a half I spend at the school.
Okay.
And it's sharing my story. The kids all know that I'm coming. It's sharing my story. A lot of them are like, what does she have to tell us? Who is she? Why is she here? And then as soon as the documentary is put on, it's 18 minutes. They meet Alex and Duke through the documentary. They realize that Alex and Duke is just two kids, just like they are. And then they see the tragedy that happened. And then the last 9 minutes of the documentary shows them what to expect when they come to the beach. And one of the stations that they go through is they sit with a lifeguard, and he goes over rip currents, ocean conditions, wind conditions, and they spend 30 minutes with him there, and then they rotate to the next station, which is a CPR first aid station.
Well, this sounds like a really good model.
Mm-hmm.
Were you there to testify when they were trying to get the bill passed on water safety education in the schools?
I actually did it via online. I wasn't able to fly down to Oahu, but I did it via online. I was actually driving back from Kona, and I pulled over on the side of the road and did it on my phone. I did online testimony. And you know, Margaret, the schools that we started out with were what's called charter schools. So they're public charter conversion schools. So they're not really they are a part of the Department of Education, but not to the full extent. So those schools saw the benefit of our program and the value it brings to a student's life. And so they asked me to come to the school if we can do the program. And I said, absolutely. I do have a DOE school. I do have a DOE school that called me to ask me if I could bring my program to their school. And absolutely. So the first year I brought this program to their school, they asked me if I could do it for their sixth grade, their seventh grade, and their eighth graders. And I said, absolutely. And so every year going forward, I just do it for sixth grade. We do it for the middle school kids. Now, one of the students from this school, a sixth grader, last year, this is the school's first time doing our program. He is walking home from school on his way home. And every day on his way home from school, he'll stop at his grandma's house, just check in on her to see how grandma's doing. Well, on this day, he swings by and grandma is unconscious. So he immediately calls 911. He calls 911 and the 911 operator asks him, does he know CPR? And he says, yes, I learned it at the Alex and Duke at Hapuna. And so he starts administering CPR to his grandma. And the emergency response team arrive and he's still doing CPR to his grandma. So his mother called me, very emotional, to tell me this. And I know this family. I know this family. My kids played baseball. Actually, my older kids played baseball with his mother. So she's on the phone crying, telling me. I'm on the phone crying because, you know, something that we're trying to teach these kids came out of this program. And one of the comments that she said that the emergency medical team had for the young boy was, you're so calm. You know, he wasn't panicking. He was calm. And he said, that's what he was taught. So it's things like that, that, you know, just makes what we do, all the more better, Margaret.
Yes.
You know, and so I met the young boy when I went back up to the school in this past water session that we had, you know, and his grandma's a teacher there, and she's like, another kid on the court, he almost performed CPR on another child. And then I had a teacher from the local school here said one of the kids that went to our program helped somebody in the lunchroom who was choking. So it's all those things that kids are learning, that it makes me proud to know that my son Alex and Duke, their life, although as short as it was on the, in this land, their legacy is still living on. The things that we're teaching these children, ocean water safety, how to recognize a rip current, what to do, first aid CPR, it's benefiting them in some way, Margaret.
Yes, your work is really impressive, Shirley. My concern is we have an Hawaii 2025 water safety plan that says, you know, we are not doing our job. We're not doing enough. We have a high rate of draining, and there are the kids. We're surrounded by water.
Yep.
I think everyone I've had on has said the same thing. We need leadership from the top. The work you're doing is wonderful, but we need it to be a state priority. It's a public health issue.
It is.
Dwayne DeSoto came on and said directly, we have neglected, and I do not say that lightly, we have neglected our children in teaching them our culture and how to stay safe in our waters. Mm-hmm. And I just truly don't understand why your work, the work of Nakama Kai, which he's been doing for almost a little longer than you have done, and told me it was, the word he used was persistence, that he has kept doing those things, and he had no idea about these statistics until he had gone to some conference of which Dr. Dogoto had showcased in the Department of Health, mm-hmm. these statistics. And lately, with John Carter, who I hope will be on our show, who identified the Hawaiian drowning statistic,
is
phenomenal. And
yes.
And then the governor stands up there with the Hawaii Water Safety Plan and says, everyone should read this. If you take it to heart, we can save lives.
And you're listening to Kauai Community Radio, KKCR Hanalei, KAQA Kilauea. This is Deep Dive into Water Safety. And I'm here in studio with Margaret. She's a board member on the Kauai Lifeguard Association. She's the mastermind behind this show.
Well, this was a really interesting interview, and I'm sorry we couldn't get through all of it. And one of the things I have to mention is that Shirley was recognized by the National Drowning Prevention Association, and we had the president on there, Alyssa Magrum, and she was recognized as a champion and advocate for water safety. And that's really important. And she mentioned when she was at that conference that she learned a lot about other countries and what they're doing for water safety and states. And what she said is that Australia and Arizona, it was a way of life and an integral part of the school curriculum, swimming and water safety.
Yeah,
so it's a great interview.
Arizona, are you serious?
Well, they have a lot of swimming pools.
Pools, of course. Of course. I need to let our listeners know that you're listening to KKCR Hanalei, KAQA Kilauea. I've got a few station things to do, and then we'll be off to our next interview.
Yes.
Cool. All right. Here we go.
Hawaiian Music Calendar is supported by HawaiianMusicStore.com. Mahalo, HawaiianMusicStore.com, for your support.
Aloha mai kākou. Welcome to our Hawaiian Music Calendar for Fridays. On the North Shore, the Tahiti Nui Restaurant and Lounge in Hanalei features music at 6:30. The Westin Princeville Ocean Villas features Michael Ke'ali from 5:30 to 7:30. The Happy Tuck Lounge at the Hanalei Bay Resort in Princeville features Michael Ruff and Friends from 6 to 9. On our east side, the Hukilau Lanai Seafood Restaurant in Waipoli features Pancho Graham from 5:30 to 8:30. The Lava Lava Beach Club at the Kauai Shores Hotel in Kapa'a features Knox from 3 to 5, followed by Tim Hogarty from 6 to 9. The Bullshed Restaurant in Kapa'a features Bronson Iwohi and Shea from 7 to 9. The Nepali Brewing Company in Kapa'a features Shiloh Paw from 6 to 8. Shutter's Lounge at the Outrigger Kauai Beach Resort features Al Makua with Tommy Tokioka from 7 to 9. Rob's Good Time Grill in Lihue features Loki Sassel from 5 to 7 and Sheldon Espina from 8 to 10. Kukui's Restaurant at the Royal Sinesta Hotel features Troy Wai'ali'ali from 5 to 8. On our South Shore, the Kauai Island Brewery at the Port Allen Marina in Ali'ali features Frank Cruz from 5 to 7. The Seaview Terrace at the Grand Hyatt in Po'epu features Kyla Benz with a hula show from 5 to 7, followed by Sheldon Espina from 7:30 to 9:30. Keoki's Paradise Restaurant Bar and Grill in Po'ipu features Kauai Ola from 5 to 7 and 7 to 8:30 with Jojo in the bar. Bangkok Happy Bowl and Thai Bistro features Falling Down Romance from 6 to 8. And our west side saddle room at the Wrangler Steakhouse in Waimea features the Triple T's from 6 to 8. And Japanese Grandma's features Darren Kiyotsuka. Mahalo Nui Loa. Have a great Hawaiian day.
Aloha, I'm Pat Durkin with your KKCR Beach and Ocean Safety Tip for today. The safest places to swim are at beaches with lifeguards. On Kauai, we have 7 lifeguard stations. On the North Shore, they are located at Haena Beach Park and the Hanalei Pavilion. On the east side, lifeguards are at Kealia Beach Park and Lydgate Park. South to west side locations are Poipu Beach Park, Salt Pond Park, and Kekaha Beach Park. These stations are staffed 7 days a week from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. Always check in with lifeguards no matter where you plan to swim. Conditions can change rapidly. With today's Beach and Ocean Safety Tip, I'm Pat Durkin for KKCR Radio. Have fun and be safe.
That's right. Have fun and be safe. And we're back on Deep Dive into Water Safety.
We are. And our next guest is Nikki Roderick. Nikki is an amazing woman who has started a nonprofit in 2022 and has made such amazing impact in our state. She is a world-class free diver from New Zealand, a former competitive swimmer and stand-up paddler, and she established Free Dive Safe in 2022 with a deep passion for ocean safety, particularly aiming to improve safety around spear fishing for Hawaiian youth, with strong cultural ties to the sport. She co-founded Free Diving Instructors International, where she trained thousands of instructors and spear fishermen worldwide over 14 years, always prioritizing safety. We are so lucky to have her move to Hawaii and started this foundation, and she has a lot to say about free diving, which I knew nothing about at the time, and how she is educating and giving that kind of water safety for the sport and spearfishing, targeting our middle schools right now. So she's really an exciting guest to talk to.
Yeah, and I'm so excited about it. And again, this is just a bit of this interview, a teaser, a taster, and you can find the rest at kkcr.org and coming soon to podcast platforms near you. Here's Nikki Roderick.
Welcome to Deep Dive into Water Safety, another episode where we have a great guest, Nikki Roderick, and she is founder of Free Dive Safe. But before we start with her, we need to address why we've started this. We started this program because of the 2025 Hawaii Water Safety Plan. And in that plan were some startling statistics. Drowning is the number one cause of death for Hawaii's children. Hawaii's resident drowning rate is the second highest in the nation. Less than 2% of Hawaii's second graders have the basic skills to avoid or recover from drowning. And 36% of resident drowning deaths are by Native Hawaiians and Pacific Islanders. Civil Beat has been carrying a lot of great articles on drowning. And in their latest one, where they talk about residents being a higher rate of drowning than we all realized. And our guest today is going to be talking about what was mentioned by Caitlin Thompson in her latest article, which in the last decade, 58 people have died free diving. Another 59 residents have died after being swept to sea while fishing from the shore, picking coveted snails called OPE, or simply standing too close to waves that can get dangerously high in times it takes to look up from a tide pool. I'm really excited to have Nikki on. The governor, in his last press conference, brought up the Hawaii Water Safety Plan and said, everybody should read this. If you take it to heart, we can make a difference. So today we have Nikki Roderick, who is a world-class free diver. She has been involved with the International Free Diving Association for over 15 years and founder and former COO. And she founded Free Dive Safe here in Hawaii in 2022. And what's amazing to me when I read on their organization that she's deeply passionate about ocean safety and works to improve the safety around spearfishing, particularly for Hawaiian youth with deep cultural roots in the sport. She is an amazing athlete. She is a world-class free diver who has set a record or holds a record in New Zealand. She's a former competitive swimmer, stand-up paddler, sports enthusiast, and has logged 2 transatlantic crossings by boat and more than 3,000 nautical miles by traveling the ocean. I am impressed. And then the last thing you've done is on July 8th, 2022, you paddled across the Pailolo Channel, Maui to Molokai, 27 miles, with fellow free diving instructor Corey Fultz to raise awareness for spearfishing fatalities in Hawaii and Free Dive Safe's mission. I can't say enough for our next guest, Nikki Roderick. Welcome to our program, Nikki.
Thank you, Margaret. It's a pleasure to be here.
So tell me something about your background more than what I just said and how you became involved in free diving and ocean safety.
Yeah, so I grew up immersed in an ocean family in New Zealand where every opportunity allowed was spent diving and fishing along the coastline, camping on the outer islands, mostly centered around gathering and eating seafood, which I kind of felt like that was our job as kids to get seafood for Dad. And Mom and Dad always placed a huge emphasis on water safety. Looking back, every photo of me on a boat as a kid, I'm wearing a life jacket. And my parents weren't super strict on land, but when it came to water safety, man, it was black and white. And I think that really laid the foundation for life in the water. And safety has just always come first. In 2020, I really jumped into like the competitive freediving discipline. And within my first year, I was hitting those New Zealand national records. And within that window, I co-founded Freediving Instructors International with a former partner, and we grew it worldwide, training a couple hundred freediving instructors and over 20,000 freediving spearfishermen over 14 years. And our primary focus there was always drilling the safety side first, then layering in the skills for the sport. And, you know, we were taking the average person off the street, and within a day and a half, they were holding their breath for 3 minutes and diving to 50, 60 feet.
Wow.
So, yeah, so it was in those early years, you know, I was usually the only woman in a room full of men, but these days it's kind of changed to more 50-50, which makes me really happy. But a big part of my role there was helping bring freediving into the mainstream and showing people that it was a sport that could be done safely and was a great way to reconnect with the ocean.
Can you tell us, because I don't know much about freediving, so I don't know if our listeners know even what freediving is, so could you explain that before you tell us more about free dive safe? What is free diving?
Free diving is breath hold diving, so going out without any tanks or any assistance and holding your breath and diving underwater to depth or distance, and time is usually involved in that equation as well. And it's just such a beautiful sport. It's you know, we're all born with these aquatic abilities within us that just need to be kind of activated with a couple of tweaks and skills. And then we find that we're actually really comfortable holding our breath and swimming underwater and reconnecting with the ocean life.
That's very interesting. So explain to me, we have all these deaths, as I mentioned, 58 died free diving. And in the article by Caitlin, they're talking about a PE picker. So can you explain that to our listeners and to me, how you die being an OPE picker? I don't understand that.
Yeah, so the OPE picking, that's kind of out of my realm, although I do like eating OPE. you know, these guys are they're scaling down on the rocks, on the lava rocks around the coastline and popping the OPE off the rocks. And, you know, they can kind of be driven to conduct this activity in some pretty extreme conditions. And, you know, the waves come in and there's usually some sort of suction along those coastlines. It's pretty dangerous.
Okay, so that's got nothing to do with free diving. So let's deep dive into free dive safe. Tell me, what is shallow water blackout? I don't, you know, can you help us understand that?
Yeah, so shallow water blackout has been, you know, it's identified as the primary risk in free diving. It's the number one cause of death in our sport. And so we're the human body holding our breath, exerting energy underwater. We have the depth and pressure affecting us as well, and that puts us at risk of low oxygen events in the water. And that can lead to loss of motor control and freediver blackout. And those two put us in dire risk and needing immediate assistance when it does happen.
How can you prevent it?
So, you know, part of what we do is familiarizing everyone with the risks of freediving, that hypoxia is just a part of the sport, right? It's something that we need to be really familiar with, that it's that it can happen out there. And then implementing the safe diving protocols so that we can immediately recognize when it's happening in our dive buddies, and then how to respond and how to navigate our dive buddy out of that situation if it does arise. And, it happens within seconds out there. And while we all take measures to prevent it from happening, and by diving within our limits and not advancing through the sport too quickly, gradual progression is a big part of what we do. But by following these safe protocols that we're promoting with Freedive Safe Hawaii, we can then mitigate these risks, respond, and navigate out of these situations. And teaching those safety protocols, teaching what hypoxia is, and getting everyone familiar with it is allowing our divers to dive safe out there, so they can all enjoy this incredible activity safely and responsibly.
So if I was interested in free diving, tell me something about your organization, and if I came to you, what kind of instruction I would get, what do you offer, and are you just on the island on Hawaii, or are you on the other islands, or do you plan to come to the other islands at any point?
So our core focus in 2024, we've been on all major islands. We've taught over 2,500 Hawaii students since our inception in August 2020. But our core focus for 2024 and into the next year is a 1.5-hour freediving safety awareness workshop that's designed for 13 to 18-year-olds. And the session gives us an overview of Hawaii resident drowning statistics, explains our why. Freediving has become the second leading cause of Hawaii resident drownings. And it breaks down those primary risks of the sport, freediver blackout leading to drowning, how to respond, what it looks like with loss of motor control, freediver blackout, and how to follow those safe diving protocols. We also provide like an overview of sustainable spearfishing practices and spear safety. And we distribute a 60-page safety booklet that they can take home and share with their friends and family and distribute within the community. So that's kind of our primary focus, and we've partnered with the DOE for this upcoming school year to get this out.
Oh, that's good. So how are you going to partner with them? Tell me what you're going to be doing with the Department of Education, because that's exciting.
Yeah. It is. We're really excited to have been awarded a contract for the Out of School Time Services. And this is an incredible opportunity for us to distribute this program on a broader scale across the islands. It was awarded at the end of last year, as I shared, and now we're just encouraging the schools to adopt the program. If any school staff are listening, the whole official HIDOE vendor list reference number is E25-08, and they can find our services there, and we're encouraging, all school staff to come on board and help support this initiative around the islands.
Now, explain that to me. So we're here in Kauai. And we have, and this is for middle school? Is this where you would be in middle school?
Yes.
Sixth grade,
yes.
Or middle school?
Sixth grade and above, yes.
Okay. So if we have those people listening, you're saying that if they want to support this and you would come into the schools, is that part of your support for DOE, from DOE?
Yes.
Okay.
They can find us on the vendor list, and we'll come in. We're an approved HIDOE vendor for out-of-school time services. And we can come in and host our 90-minute in-school presentation with interactive kind of discussions on breath hold risks, body supervision, emergency response, and provide those resources for continued learning. And this training has proven to be saving lives out there within the community.
Of course. So it seems to me if you're collaborating with the DOE, they would make it clear or make it known to every middle school in Hawaii that they should be encouraged to have you come in.
They've notified, all schools have been notified. Now it's just a matter of getting the schools to engage.
So we need, do you need some help here, Nikki? Should I be calling, you know, Kapa'a High and asking them if they're going to be having that? And I'd be glad to do that. We have a new charter school here on the North Shore,
Okay, so here we are talking about water safety in schools.
Yes,
and
it was very exciting because I did follow up with my offer to call the schools, and the only contact I ever got and a response was the principal from Waimea, who actually picked up the phone when I called.
Wow.
And I sent him all the information he needed for this program and copied Nikki on that email. So hopefully Waimea Middle School will be getting this clinic, which would be fantastic, coming from such a world expert in this area, free diving and water safety. I think we're very, very lucky to have someone like this on Hawaii.
For sure. And of course, this is Deep Dive into Water Safety. I'm Radio Annie, and this is Margaret presenting this information on how to stay safe. What are the resources to stay safe in the water?
Right. And we just want to close with the show with some interesting information. We talked originally with Sarah Fairchild from the Duke Foundation, and in Ocean Fest, which is going to open up on the 15th of August in Oahu, they will be showcasing a new license plate, which will support water safety initiatives and swimming through the foundation. It will be a Duke license plate. He's the ambassador of Aloha and Legacy of Surfing, and it's the 135th anniversary of the Duke. So we have the statue in Waikiki.
131st, and his birthday?
Well, yes.
Whoa, he'd be 135?
As I said, as Dwayne said, everybody should watch the movie.
Yeah, Duke, and it's the Ambassador of Aloha. Yeah.
Yes, it's a wonderful movie. The second thing is that Dwayne has told us about an event that would be coming to Hanalei for the Department of Education for teachers, students, and anybody. It's free. It's sailing canoes and understanding all the navigation and possibly getting rides on those canoes. It is scheduled for August 23rd in Hanalei. And it's free from 8:30 to 3:30. That should be an exciting event, weather permitting, whether they can sail all those canoes over.
So that's August 23rd, 8:30 to 3:30 in Hanalei Bay.
Yes, it's called Ho'okea.
Ho'okea.
He just sent me that information.
That's fantastic. And then the other one was the Ocean Fest, August 15th on Oahu.
Yes.
Okay.
That starts up. And the license plate should be available sometime later on in this year for us to purchase. And that purchase goes to support swimming and water safety through the Duke Foundation.
Okay.
So that's great.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then we have guests coming up that we'll be recording. John Clay Carter, who is the epidemiologist who did the research that showed the disparity of local Hawaiian kids having high drowning rates. He is, as a backstory, he's the great nephew of Duke Kahanamoku. It should be a very interesting interview, but he's been very busy and he couldn't come on for this. But we will be talking to him in September.
Okay, that's good. Is it going to be a pre-recorded interview as well?
Yes,
so,
I think so.
Yeah, very easy. Okay, very cool.
Yeah, and we have some other international guests coming on to talk about water safety.
Uh-huh. Okay. That's good. And all of these interviews you can find at kkcr.org, and we're working on making them nationally available as well at anywhere you get your podcasts. And because this issue is so very important, drowning is preventable, and with some advocacy, with some education, it can be prevented.
And maybe downloading the 2025 Hawaii Water Safety Plan and do what the governor asks. If we read this and take it to heart, we can make a difference and save lives.
Yes, for sure. What else, do you want to give us the statistics one more time on water safety? And we drive these home and we say them over and over again because it's important for us all to know and to have these in our hearts. And it's not to scare you when you go to the ocean, but it's to make you aware. Keep your eyes open. The lifeguards say head on a swivel when they go to the beach so that you can be that advocate for life.
I think what all our guests have said is that we're all in this together. Drowning is preventable. And we need to amplify the message that water safety is important and should be a state priority. And what we learned from the 2025 Hawaii Water Safety Plan, which is really a working document, is that Hawaii has the second highest drowning rate in the country. Drowning is the number one cause of death for children age 1 to 15. Native Hawaiians and Pacific Islanders make up 27% of the population, but account for 36% of the drownings. Fewer than 2% of second graders have water safety education. And snorkeling is the leading cause of ocean drowning among visitors. These are really startling statistics. And the whole goal, as everybody has said that's come on our show, from local to national to international, that it is a global issue. That at the state level, we should be becoming the leader in the country in water safety in Hawaii. And we're working towards that. We have programs that we have showcased. We have people on here who have been persistent about how they feel about it. And everyone's working together. And I think that will absolutely change the whole climate here if we all are hyper-vigilant about water safety.
I agree. And of course, Kauai Community Radio is doing what we can to that end as well, because if we see a need in the community and we have volunteers that want to step up and fill that need, KKCR can bring that information to the airwaves. And our goal is to make a difference in the lives of people around us.
Yes. And so for informing people about water safety in the archives and in the podcast, we now have all the links to the resources that we bring up. So the Hoakea event, anything that we have mentioned, freedivesafe.org, all that will be in the resource section in the archives for now, but will be on podcast. So if you want to know more about something that we've talked about, it will be there for you.
Yes, for sure. It's kkcr.org/archives, and you can click on the deep dive into water safety link and see all the things that we're talking about there. We're so glad that you joined us today. If you appreciate this work that we're doing here at Kauai Community Radio, you can also head over to our website, kkcr.org, and click that donate button, because we are your community radio station that works for problem solving, connections, community growth, and gosh darn great music here on the island of Kauai. And With the abolishment of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, we do need your support to continue this work. And we're so grateful to do it. We're so thankful that we can do these things and offer it to the public. And with your help, we are not going to stop. So thank you for your help and your advocacy. And Margaret, thanks for organizing.
Well, thank you for allowing us to have this show. It's great.
Mm-hmm. Our absolute pleasure. We'll see you next month on Deep Dive.